She began to tremble and shake. Hengist had seen her do this countless times. She always did so when the gods spoke through her. He shivered. The gods were preparing to speak, and he was frightened of what they might say. A broad-shouldered man with graying hair and a stern jaw stepped forward, shaking off the hands of his wife, who tried to hold him back.
"Wait, Nelda," he said. "I would hear what this man has to say about his god. A god that does not demand sacrifice and promises life rather than death. This is a god I would hear tales of."
For several heartbeats, Nelda glowered at the man.
"Do not think to tell me what to do, Egeifan,"
she said, her words full of contempt. Then, with a cry even louder than the first, she spun to face the dark priest once more.
"No, you bring lies to poison our minds, lies!"
She reached into the leather pouch that hung from her belt and drew forth several small items. Without hesitation, she flung them at the stranger. He flinched as the small objects, white against the dark wool of his robe, hit him and fell to the ground. They were human finger bones. The priest touched his head, then his chest, then each shoulder, in a magical symbol of some kind. Nelda screamed in words of a tongue none there could comprehend. The wind tugged the words from her mouth and shredded them. A great flock of rooks flew overhead, black against the darkening sky. Stinging grit from the path spattered into Hengist's eyes. The air itself crackled with the promise of violence. Mothers pulled their children away, shielding their eyes. Nelda wielded the power of the gods in her voice, and all there stepped back from where she stood. All except the priest. He was unmoving, with eyes closed. His lips moved, but he spoke too quietly for the onlookers to hear. His lack of response seemed to enrage Nelda even further, and her voice began to crack, her throat tearing with the force of her arcane words. One of the warriors stepped forward, drawing his sword. The priest, sensing the movement, held out his hand for the man to halt. Nelda's cries and exhortations to the gods continued for some time, until at last the words dried in her throat, and she stood before the stranger, panting and wild-eyed, foam flecking her lips. He opened his eyes then, this man who spoke of a new kind of god, and held out his right hand towards the witch. In his left he clutched a silver amulet that dangled from a thong about his neck. Hengist saw that it was similar in shape to the hammer of Thunor, a cross like the sign the priest had made over his chest. Nelda's shoulders heaved from her exertions. For a moment there was silence, only broken by the rush of the wind that now howled in the valley. Then, in a clear voice, the priest said,
"In the name of our Lord Jesu Christ, I, Paulinus, command you to leave this place, that these people may know the true word of God."
Nobody moved. The ferocity of the wind lessened. A calm settled on the valley. Nelda's mouth began to twitch into a smile. It seemed this stranger's god would not speak. And then, with a sound as loud as mountains collapsing, the shadowed veil was lit with the white brilliance of lightning. The bolt crashed so nearby that people screamed out in fear for their lives. It was as if the sky itself had fallen. Women threw themselves to the ground, protecting their children and their bodies. Several of the warriors' horses broke free and galloped down the valley track, eyes white-rimmed with terror. The thunder crash was deafening. The air was rent with a ripping sound, followed instantly by a hammer crash blow of godlike intensity. The echoes rolled down the valley. Was this a display of Thunor's anger? Had he heard Nelda's screams of defiance at this new god? The clouds churned black and terrible above them. Nelda's smile broadened. The gods were furious. But Nelda's expression changed to a look of anguish as she saw where the lightning had struck. To one side of the valley stood the sacred ash tree. This was the symbol of Woden, All-Father. The tree where the rites to the gods were performed, where sacrifices were made. The tree had been split asunder. Part of the massive canopy came crashing to the